Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wig.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And I'm so happy to like be here with you. I feel like it has been so long. You took a quick trip to Sundance. I would love to hear about it.
I did. I took a quick virtual imaginary trip to Sundance. I attended the Sundance Film Festival, which was fully online this year. So sadly, I did not have any Lisa Barlow run-ins, nor did I see Lala and Katie or any of the Salt Lake City women. Very disappointing. But yeah, I had a fun time, watched lots of movies.
Do you know how many films you watched?
25.
Wow.
In like 6 days.
Wow.
It was a lot. It was fun. It was definitely an experience. I would love to go in person someday, but I have a feeling that would be like exorbitantly more expensive.
Yeah, a little.
So yeah, it was nice. I was nice and comfy, took a few days off. I hope you guys enjoyed our interview with... Who did we interview? Drew and the Carlin Lindsay. Yes. Oh my God. It feels like a lifetime ago. But yeah, we are back to our normal recap schedule today. We have lots to talk about. Of course, we have the Salt Lake City finale. But before that, we're going to talk about Below Deck and Real Housewives of Dallas. Let's just jump right in, shall we?
Let's jump right in the waters.
So we're deep into the season on Below Deck. We start Charter 7 this week, which... It feels like it's been a long time. Francesca and Elizabeth are just never going to see eye to eye. And
exactly. That's the issue. They're just not like, we're not like settling this. My issue that I have had an issue every single episode. My issue this episode was we left off at the whole sleeping in the guest cabin. And Francesca just won't let it go because she's looking for any which way to get rid of Elizabeth. I'm surprised she actually physically hasn't thrown her off the boat yet. But like she brought it up in front of everyone. And I thought that was extremely inappropriate and not professional in front of everyone that works on the boat in the kitchen, like, or, you know, with their little hangout spot.
I agree. I think it's the kind of thing where I don't understand. If it's a fireable offense, just fire her. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
I'm a little confused at, like, the continued, like, I want her gone. She has one more chance, but I wish I could fire her now. It's like, you could fire her now. I mean, I know there's, like, certain things about, like, oh, we're starting a charter. We don't have time to get someone new. But it's... I feel like now it's been, like, 8 episodes that Francesca has wanted Elizabeth fired. And it's like... I wish we would have just moved on because as funny as I think Elizabeth can be, it's like annoying that we're spending basically the entire season watching them just like at odds.
Right. And Francesca has now brought Aisling under her wing about this. And then Aisling just starts crying, like saying like, it's just the two of us that work. And I was like, where did this come from? Like, do you feel this way? Or are you just feeling this way because Francesca's telling you to feel this way? Like, what's happening here? Let's just, like, everyone do their job and just, like, don't talk to each other. Everyone, clean your bathroom, do the dishes and, like, and the serving at dinner, and like that's it. Just ignore each other. We're like children over here.
It reminds me of when I used to work retail, and they would like get mad at us for talking on the floor to each other. And it's like, yes! Look, I can talk and fold at the same time. Like,
yes,
hop off my dick. Like, I'm fine.
Well, and what is it? What does it go down to, Dylan? It's because it was your manager that was the one saying it, because your manager was the one that didn't have friends to talk to him, hated their life, just like Francesca. I don't think Francesca hates her life, but I'm just saying it's always the higher up. It always is.
Okay. We have to talk about this mahi-mahi mix-up, the mahi-mahi debacle. So
yeah,
we have Jackie and David Siegel who are on the charter. My Queen Jackie, I love her. I think she's fabulous.
Some people refer to me as the Queen of Versailles.
I love that they're like, wait, so what should we call you? Like Queen of Versailles? And she's like, that's fine. That's not her name.
Like, not like,
she
no,
doesn't have like a
no.
title. Yeah. So for their first lunch on board, there's like choices of what to eat. And one of the choices is mahi-mahi. People have made their orders. And okay, I see both sides of this issue. So yeah. Basically, yeah. Five people ordered mahi-mahi, but when Rachel got the order sheet from Francesca, she read it as four, so then there was this delay because they needed an extra. Okay. The issue is they very clearly show the paper that Francesca wrote, and she wrote mahi-mahi as two orders, right? Because for all the rest, right, she was just writing mahi. But the name of the fish is mahi-mahi. So it's like, I understand why in her head Francesca thought that was clear, but also I understand why for Rachel that meant something different. And it's like, it's frustrating that now both of these women are like pretending that the other is bad at their job because of this, when it was just a mix up.
This reminds me of the scene in House Bunny with Anna Faris when she goes, I'll have the mahi mahi, but just one mahi because I'm not that hungry.
Oh my God.
But
it's the kind of thing where it's like, it is in the truest form just a simple communication error.
Yeah,
and both of them, sure. But because they kind of don't like each other already, they're both trying to use it as this thing of like, she sucks at her job. No, she sucks at her job. But it's like, chill. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, I do have to say, though, in Rachel's defense, Francesca has messed up like the orders before. So this wasn't the first time that this happened, but this happened to be a mix up on both ends. So it's...
Yeah, I just feel like I understand Rachel's like frustration with Francesca.
Rachel needs to chill, though.
She needs to chill because she's like muttering under her breath. We see in the preview for next episode that she's basically like, she like hates Francesca all of a sudden. And it's like, it is just not that deep.
Yeah. Her and Rachel and Jen Shaw should go head to head with like explosions.
God.
That would be wild. But also,
they're so different, but they have like that one thing in common. I can't imagine them hanging out.
I also just want to mention that it was Elizabeth's 30th birthday and it was like the worst day of her life and no one like acknowledged it and everyone hates her. And so Izzy was nice enough to make a cake because Rachel was supposed to and forgot. So they made a whatever they called it, a fairy cake,
bread
and they
cake,
did it with like an entire loaf of bread with butter and then hot fudge and sprinkles. And I thought it like looked really cute, but then they ate it. Like I thought it was a joke, but they were actually sitting there eating it.
I feel like it's one of those like bootleg recipes for like freezer cake where you just like put a bunch of stuff together and then like I think it's like edible. It's not like the same as a I don't know. Yeah, I did feel bad. And then James like wouldn't even like give her the time of day. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, I've changed my mind. James is no. Goodbye. Listen to Rachel on that one. He's a douchebag.
She's like, good night. Okay. real quick, before we move on to Dallas, I just want to talk about Lee kind of opening up about his son who he lost to a drug overdose. And David Siegel opens up and says that he lost one of his daughters to the same thing. And I thought that was just like a really nice conversation. It came up a couple times throughout the episode. And seeing Lee get so emotional, it's nice when the charter guests, you think they're going to be like a total nightmare. And then they kind of have this like softer side. I liked seeing that.
Right. Because it's something that like, of course, not everyone has gone through. So when they do have that unfortunate thing in common, it's something for them to talk about. And he said, Captain Lee was saying how he was not looking forward to, but interested in seeing how they cope with it and seeing if he can learn anything, because the difference is his is a lot more fresh than theirs. And it was just really, really emotional seeing Captain Lee like open up like that and not be with his wife like during this time of him, you know, being on the show and being away. So it was really sad.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Okay, let's talk about Dallas. This week is... It was kind of a lot. Most of it is Brandy's birthday continued, where they are... It's this whole long day drinking excursion, which I feel like I can totally relate to pre-pandemic, being at, you know, the first location, and then you are like drunkenly shopping, and then you end up at dinner and you're like kind of a zombie.
Yeah. I truly miss my day winery trips, like in the warm spring weather. Like, it really had me like in my feelings, but I don't like watching these women do that because they just are really not all together. They're just not vibing for me as a group. And I feel like the same fight has been brought up over and over again. And I just feel like at Brandy's birthday is not where Carrie and Deandra should be fighting. It's just, you know, and Carrie's behavior, by the way, recently especially, has just been something I'm truly over.
Carrie's energy is a lot. I feel like she... So there's this... there's two kind of separate things at play, because first she and Tiffany are kind of going at it, and then she has her whole thing with Deandra. And the thing with Tiffany really bothers me because, it kind of seems like she's resentful of Tiffany's career, and obviously they are not in the same career field at all, no. But she's like, you know, kind of looking down on the fact that Tiffany has work in the morning and has like surgeries to do. And it's like, you have like no grounds to stand on to be like questioning Tiffany's busyness or whatever.
I really dislike when any women on these shows compare their day to day. It's just like,
yeah,
stop comparing what you're doing during the day and your kids and how many you have and the age. It's enough. Like, cause no matter how old people's kids are, you've been in that position at one time. Right. So it's, and people are all these housewives are different ages. So they've all been at different points of their career. And it's just something that's exhausting, to be honest. Like, Tiffany's an anesthesiologist. She works different hours than you, Carrie. Like, you can't compare that. No one's saying you're higher than her or you're better than her, but it's just, you can't compare your lifestyles. It's just like ridiculous in my opinion.
And another thing is, so Carrie is, you know, saying that she has all the stuff she's going through, and, you know, I think Deandra says, well, like, most of your kids are grown, like, it's different. And Carrie kind of drops the bomb about her daughter Olivia having, you know, suicidal thoughts or, you know, that kind of whole stuff. And the hard thing here is that obviously that is a super real thing. Nobody is, like, trying to take away from that. But Carrie up until then, nobody knows. Right. Carrie hasn't told anyone. And she, I feel strongly in situations like this that you can't be mad at someone for not empathizing with the situation that they don't know you're going through.
Correct.
And so Carrie is acting like all of these women are treating her horribly and they don't know what she is dealing with. And it's like, yeah, they don't know what you're dealing with. Like, it's up to you whether or not you want to share that. But if you're not going to share it, you can't be like, well, why aren't they being comforting me? And it's like, because they don't know you need comforting. Like,
right. I
feel for Carrie in the sense that she is going through this stuff with her daughter. But it's like, you can't take that out on the other women if they don't even know that you're going through it in the first place.
Absolutely. And it's the type of situation, because it is so real with Carrie's daughter, that she doesn't know how to handle it, I'm assuming, right now, and who to talk to. And so she thinks she's like leaning on her friends. But you're right. If her friends don't know to ask, of course, you're always going to say to your friends, how you doing? Like, how are you? But you don't. If they did ask that one day and Carrie wasn't ready to share it, that's not their fault either, that they didn't know.
If we're adults having an adult friendship and conversations with each other, if I ask you how you're doing and you're like, doing fine, I take that at face value. Unless you're like clearly not okay, I'm not going to pry into your business if you're telling me you're fine.
Exactly. And I think
she and Deandra clearly have this disconnect where both of them kind of have the same issue with each other. So it's like, I fully believe that neither of them is like a great friend to the other, but they're both kind of in this space where they're like, well, I'm always asking her about her problems, but she's never, interested in what's going on in my life. And I have a feeling the truth is really smack dab in the middle, because they both seem like pretty self-centered people, if we're being honest. Yeah.
Deandra was funny to me, though. Like, she can't even look at Carrie right now, and she is just putting on her lip gloss. She put on her lip gloss like 14 times throughout the episode to like avoid like having conversation. And I was like, okay, all right. There's something else I just want to ask you. Who do you think brings up the topic of their career more? Dr. Tiffany Moon or Dr. Wendy Iosefo?
Oh,
that's a great question, because Tiffany is getting to that point for me where I'm like, okay, we get it.
I feel like there are like two different flavors on the same ice cream cone. Like, they are both obviously super accomplished and their careers are impressive and all of that. I think that is, it's interesting that we've had both of them join the show in the same kind of cycle, because they both represent kind of a new type of presence on Housewives.
Yeah.
We haven't had very many Housewives who are really established in a field that isn't just like business. You know, we've had a lot of like successful businesswomen or successful, like entertainment type people. But to have like a doctor or a professor, like somebody like that who is doing a really highly skilled job and like that doesn't really lend itself to just like being a housewife, I think it's tough because there isn't really a template for that. And of course, Tiffany's day to day is a lot different than any of these women. Even somebody like Deandra, who has, a job, like she has a company, whatever, that's a lot different than going in for your shift at the hospital. And I think Tiffany is a really great addition to the show, but similar to Wendy, I do see her struggling a little bit just to kind of like place herself into the context of Housewives and play the game a little bit,
And like I've said before, that we've seen on shows, Tiffany, we find out, is 35. Carrie is 50. Like, they're not on the same level. Not, I shouldn't say level, you know what I mean? But
no, but I think it's one thing, like, when you're watching Potomac, like, you obviously know that Ashley is quite a bit younger than Karen.
Right.
But in most of these contexts, age doesn't really seem like that important. So you kind of are just like, oh, yeah, they're all in the group together. But 35 and 50 are a lot different.
We've seen it on New York too with Ramona and Leah. Like, it's a thing. Yeah. It is a really, like, it's just, you don't see me hanging out with 50-year-old women. I'm not 35, but you know what I mean? Like, I'll call that
don't
out.
Anyone dare don't tell Barry ever, that she's close to 35.
Yeah, that was fucking rude. No.
I don't know. I do think that is an interesting dynamic. I'm enjoying Tiffany a lot. I do think she could ease up on the career stuff, but I do really appreciate the scene with her husband at the end of the episode. Her husband, who I have to say right away is becoming one of my favorite Housewives husbands, because he just seems so in connection, like he's so in sync with her and really just telling her what she needs to hear.
Yeah.
And really seems so supportive of her in a genuine way, not just in a like, yeah, spend my money type of way.
Yeah.
And that's great to see. And I think she clearly isn't, also similar to Wendy, is kind of at a crossroads of balancing her career with motherhood, with her, you know, new exciting projects. And it's great to see her have support in that.
Yes. We love seeing the supportive house husbands on these shows.
Not enough of them over the years.
Not enough. Literally not enough. But I just want to go back to the drunken situations. We go from situations. We go from this winery and we go to this dive bar, I should say, and where they're the only, where Deandra claims she rented out the bar. The bar can only fit them in it. So it's not, I don't really see, you know. And then Brandy, with her Dallas cheerleader experience, gets on a table and does a little dance lesson. And I was like, girls,
wait,
ladies.
I have to say, this was such a throwaway moment. Like, they didn't even pick up her mic, really. But when Brandy starts dancing on the table, I rewound it three times. Jen Davis, who is quickly becoming a like low-key favorite of mine, she just goes, is this twinking? Like, she doesn't know the word for twerking.
And we and know,
like,
yeah.
She's like in the back. I thought somebody else said it first. But yeah, I love Jen. And then, so they're doing their pickle juice shots.
Okay.
And
can I just say something really quick? First of all, it's weird that they call it, I didn't know, it's, I thought it was a pickleback shot. That's all I know, but they're from the South, so I believe them more because they know.
It's different. A pickleback is pickle juice and whiskey, right?
Whiskey. Oh,
and
so
they're
drinking
pickle juice and vodka.
Oh, okay, so it is. Okay, so I was right. They're two different things. So let me tell you,
I don't want to try.
Disgusting. Pickles are one of my favorite food. I have two jars in my fridge right now. Like, I eat them daily as snacks. And I took a pickleback shot years ago for my first time ever. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds so, of course. Like, yeah. I took the shot at the bar. I remember I was at Fiddlesticks, the bar in New York City. I think they're closed now, but I projectile vomited from the pickle back and I didn't eat a pickle. For 6 months, I counted. I could not eat a pickle, smell it, be around it for 6 months, and it was awful. So people who do enjoy that, props to you. I can't do it ever again for the rest of my life. Ooh.
Same, so the different, because I just don't like pickles in general. So like the thought of a pickle juice shot is like extra gross to me. Yeah, so they're at this bar. Honestly, it looks really fun. I would love to just go get like messy at a bar. They're going shopping and then they end up at dinner.
Drunk shopping is so good. Stephanie thought dead serious. She was buying like an ass whippet, like an ass smacker. The guy had to tell her it was a charcuterie board. Like, she had not even a clue. And she was like, oh, that's a charcuterie board. Like, she was buying it like as a paddle.
I was dying when they were, when she was smacking Deandra's ass, and she's like, I think that ass gets spanked a lot. Like, she doesn't have any pain. So good.
Oh, God.
Okay, so they get to dinner, and apparently Jen is my MVP, because I have to hide the moment when, so Jen doesn't drink. We have kind of like, we knew this before, but she asks if they'll care if she drinks her O'Doul's in a wine glass, and Tiffany is like, no, babe. And Jen just goes, better than going to jail.
Like, as if no one, yeah, like, and
they're,
she,
like, they're like, wait, did you go to jail? And she's like, oh no, but like, that was where I was headed.
She said it so nonchalantly and like, I think wanted all the girls to like laugh at the joke with her, and like, and no one like, did.
I actually feel kind of bad, because whatever, you know, Jen ended up not being a full-time housewife, and it felt like that was a moment where we should have gotten a little more like of an emotional moment with her, like a little more backstory. And then it cuts immediately into Deandra being like, well, you know, blah, 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 me.
Well, there are some friends of that we do find more information of, and some where they just like happen to be at the event. And she's one that like looks fun and like, I would like to know more about, for sure.
Yeah, it is a little awkward because she has been at every group event so far. So it's not like, it's not like, oh yeah, she comes and goes, like, whatever. It's like she clearly was filming with the cast the entire time. So it's a little, I will say, like, I wish sometimes that they would just give us a little more, because it's awkward to have somebody there who you're like, I don't really know who this person is, but she's just around. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I think sometimes they get a little too stuck in there, like, well, she's not full-time cast, and it's like, just let her talk.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
I think we should move on to Salt Lake City because...
Probably.
Oh, God. This was the season finale, which I'm just going to start off and say, you know, I don't say this often, but to me, it was a bit of a snooze fest.
I partially agree. I do think it did not need to be a 90-minute episode.
Absolutely not.
Because we got, I would say, a handful of scenes that felt fillery. Like, I didn't really need to see Whitney's dad cutting her hair. I didn't really need to see Mary leading church choir practice and telling somebody to drink water so they stop gaining weight. I didn't really need to see Jen and Coach Shaw's whole salsa dancing thing. It was one of those things where, like, any of those scenes on their own are like, yeah, that makes sense. But it was like there were four scenes in a row that I was like, let's get to it.
Yeah. And it was kind of just showing us like where they all are. But there's so many other things we need to be solving right now that I don't care where they are individually at this moment because they're all fighting.
OK, speaking of things that we need to solve, I need to know, do you know the word stanchion?
That was so fucking funny. All right. That is not the first time I've heard, like, I've heard the word before. Yes. But in that moment, if you asked me what that was called, no, like I wouldn't have told you that.
I'm kind of on the same page. Like, I definitely know that word. And if you said that word, that picture would come to mind, but I wouldn't always recall it right away.
When Whitney walked up and said that and Heather just froze, I actually laughed out loud.
That was so funny. She goes, cute stanchions.
Heather is my VIP.
Heather's VIP. Great. I do love
MVP. MVP.
Your VIP. The editing at the beginning when they're flashing back to what happened in Vegas and doing these like black and white like slow-mo. It was very over the top. I thought it was fun, but also like very dramatic.
Very dramatic. But I do have to go back and say that when we first started recapping Salt Lake City when it premiered, the whole world was very quick to judge Mary. Like, everyone judged her on the grandpa thing, on the issue with Jen, because that happened right off the bat. And after their fight, they have never been in the same room together. However, I just want to say that since then, no one has ever come back and I feel like defended Mary, because Jen has now exploded on every single person in the cast. Like, it happened with Mary so fast. So everyone was, and we were new to the show and didn't know the people. So does that make sense? And now Jen has exploded on everyone. And I feel like Mary's not getting like what she deserves, like the comeback, you know? Well,
okay. The problem is for me, I thought the crux of the episode, which it takes too long to get there, is Heather's beauty lab and laser party, which looked fun. I was very into the clouds. I feel like the last scene really makes it clear that Mary sort of doesn't belong with the cast. Like, the whole last scene, you have Jen, Mary, or not, fuck the names. you have everyone but Mary standing around dealing with their issues, and Mary doesn't even have, like, Mary and Jen don't even have like a final moment or anything. Like, it feels like the cast is this like kind of natural group of five that have their issues with each other, and like Mary's not even really part of the equation. So it's interesting knowing that she was, you know, still made a full-time cast member, like, at the reunion, there's going to be all this stuff that she wasn't even really involved with.
Right. But at the same time, she reminds me of, like, the wizard from The Wizard of Oz, like, always behind the curtain, but still talking to, like, the other characters. Like, that's always how I feel. Like, she was always on the phone with someone telling them about, like, what's been going on. Yeah. And she was always like, I told you. And then, I don't know.
I think that's the problem, is we've seen from her, like, FaceTimes, and then she's also had probably more confessionals than actual scenes, that it's, like, we've seen so much of her talking about her stuff and, like, talking about Jen and talking about her issues and all of that. But it's, like, she hasn't actually had, like, camera time with these people. So it's, like, you know, Jen and Heather had a giant fight last episode, but then they sit down again this episode and actually, like, talk through it. Whereas, like, Jen and Mary had this issue 10 episodes ago, but then since then it's just been, like, well, I guess they hate each other, but they're not going to talk about their issues.
Yeah, and I do have to say that I feel like Mary just doesn't have time for her bullshit, and that's why they haven't spoken, and Mary's probably like, I'm out. But at the beauty lab party, Whitney approached Jen, and Heather approached Jen. The only person Jen approached is Meredith. Like, she went in there kind of like, you know,
yeah,
not scared, but like timid a little bit, well, to talk yeah. to these people.
I think Jen knew whether or not she thought it was, whether or not she understood what she did wrong or thought that she deserved it. She knew that she was on everyone's shit list. And I think, you know, for valid reasons, all of these women have issues with her. They have trouble trusting her. They feel like she has kind of done them wrong, which I think is pretty accurate. And I appreciate that all of them are kind of willing to stand their ground with Jen. And, you know, Whitney, Jen is clearly the kind of person where she can understand maybe when she needs to apologize, but that doesn't necessarily mean she is apologizing sincerely. And, you know, she makes a couple apologies in this episode, and then in her confessional is basically like, yeah, I mean, like, I guess I'm sorry, like, I don't know what for. And it's like,
she thinks that people can't, she thinks the problem is people just can't interpret what she's saying. That's the problem. And then she does apologizes, and once she utters those words, she just thinks everything's fine. Like, no, that's fine. No, there's a lot.
Okay, so a couple things. First of all, when she is apologizing to Meredith, Meredith is fucking, her face is like stone cold. Yeah. She's listening. She's understanding. She tells Jen that she appreciates what she's saying, but she is standing her ground more than I think like anyone I can remember. And yeah. It's basically like, thank you for saying that. I will take it into consideration. And that's all. Like, I like that Meredith doesn't feel the need to accept the apology and move on if she doesn't actually feel like she's in that place with Jen.
Yeah. She also said that she would like to see actions to prove that the words right. of Jen, what Jen is saying. But again, I know Jen blew off the handle and she's apologizing, but she cried again. Like, she has to mm-hmm. just have a conversation with someone. And like, she cried while apologizing to Meredith. And it's like, this is like a terrible thing to say, but it's like, you have to stop showing like emotion. Like, every time you have a conversation, it's like,
yeah.
just have an adult conversation, because it's okay to cry. Obviously, if you feel a certain type of way, whatever, but it happens every single conversation. And it's like, what's real and what's not.
I think to me, that's what made the part with Heather and Jen was kind of tough for me to watch, because Heather clearly cares. I think Heather cares about Jen more than anyone else in the cast.
Yeah.
And so Heather really feels like deeply hurt. And the biggest issue is when Jen raised her hand and said that she didn't trust Heather, and Jen has created this kind of fictional narrative in her head that when Heather came to her hotel room in Vegas, she was just like, you know, trying to make her look bad, and she blindsided her by telling her all this stuff. And Heather's like, I'm trying to tell you the truth and to actually yeah. like help you help yourself mm-hmm. fix these problems that you've caused, and you're acting like I'm, you know, totally screwing you over. And when she's saying that, she feels like, she says, I'm the pathetic fool that worships you and does everything it takes to keep your friendship, and you shit all over it. And that is such a vulnerable I think, really, like, honest feeling coming from Heather. And then Jen immediately is like, well, I feel like you shit all over me. And it's like, that's not what happened. That's just not what happened.
Yeah. That's the thing, though, where we said last week that Heather is a good friend and she's doing what she needs to do. She went a little too overboard because any other person would have been like, I'm done. Like, right. She like chased her. The fact that Jen still can't see that, at that point, Heather's like, Heather should just give up because there's no getting through that wall.
And Jen is doing some textbook, you know, questionable apology shit here. And she, first of all, she says, Heather tells Jen exactly what she wants her to say and what she needs to hear, basically that she took her for granted and she has been a good friend and she didn't appreciate it. And Jen's response to that is literally like, what am I supposed to say? Like, what do you need me to say? And it's like, she literally told you what to say. And then ultimately she just says, I don't know what I'm owning, but I will own it. And it's like, that is like just not how that works.
That's also like, that's the problem though. You need to know what you did. I'm super excited for this reunion because it is in person. You can't walk off. Of course, we've always had people walk off. Like, there's going to be, Jen does walk off, but it's just, are these women ever going to solve it and move forward? It's, to me, this is kind of, I know this is first season and this is a big jump, but it's kind of reminding me as a whole of Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump. Like, there's no there's no coming back from this. It's kind of like serious.
Well, yeah.
And we don't even know what the root is.
It's hard whenever there are two friends who both feel like they have been wronged and they have like genuinely opposing views of what actually happened. And I think the difference between that is that like that situation was very kind of, there were a lot of gray areas. We still don't know whether Lisa did what she was accused of doing, all of that stuff. This feels very like Jen has invented a narrative in her head that she believes is true, and Heather is like truly just trying to like bring her back down to earth, and Jen is seeing it as some huge attack. I agree. I think I'm very excited to see the reunion, and yeah, like I want like good friendships for Heather. And I don't know if, besides Whitney, I don't know if that's meant to happen in this group.
Well, the thing is, when you think about like a cast shakeup, I feel that now is the time after season one to do it. And if we already know Mary probably won't come back because Mary and Jen can't be in the same room. But at this point, is Jen going to come back? Jen is, if one person is the one fighting with everybody, that person typically is the one to go.
I don't see it like that, though, because I think obviously she has her issues with everybody, but I think in terms of, we'll see what happens at the reunion, but like she's on okay terms with Lisa. Whitney and Heather still are in a place where they seem like they are making an effort with her. So I don't think it's like a lost cause. I think she has a lot of work to do to kind of, you know, fix clean up the wreckage that she's caused, but
okay,
I don't know, we'll see.
Fine, but then someone else, I would think, I'm just jumping the gun on this, so I could do without Jen on next season of Salt Lake City. Not Jen, oh my god, sorry, the names. The names. Lisa Barlow.
No, protect Lisa. Lisa
fine,
can't go.
Fine, you know what, obviously Jen's my, you know that I, Jen doesn't count. Like, of course I don't want her back, but
wait, so maybe, you want to get rid of half the cast?
No. Maybe if Jen is gone, Lisa will shine more at her own personality. You know what I mean? As opposed to just like her and Meredith clinging to each other the entire season. Lisa didn't have a relationship with anyone other than Meredith this season. I'm sorry. That's where I stand.
Agree to disagree. We'll come back for the reunion next week and see where we stand. We're getting a 3-part reunion, which is very exciting.
Yeah, that's a lot. I hope it's not like this episode that was an hour and a half for no reason.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. But in the meantime, thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Betches.